Hey there, my name is Lucy and I am so excited to welcome you to the very first Ultimate Mums Club podcast. I thought the best place to start would be by sharing a bit about my own experiences and by giving you a few tips that have helped me in my motherhood journey so far. It is so lovely to have you here. It means that you have grabbed a snippet of time for you and that is brilliant. Here at the Ultimate Mums Club podcast, I hope to provide you with a supportive and informative listen. We will be hearing from many different mums, listening to their stories, as well as speaking to experts offering their guidance in those more challenging times. I will also be sharing my journey as a mum and how I juggle being mum alongside running my own business and finding some kind of time to myself. Let's get cracking. Hello, ladies. I can't quite believe that I'm welcoming you to my podcast. Oh, God, it's amazing. So I thought I would begin my podcast journey in talking about my journey in motherhood so far and how I got to this point in time where the podcast has become an integral part of doing something for me. So let's take you back right to the beginning, 2017. So Seb was born on the 7th of November 2017, and it all happened reasonably quickly. I mean, I am very blessed in the respect that I fell pregnant very easily. It wasn't really planned to a certain extent. It was somewhat of a compromise because in my head, I thought that I would get married and then have children, but it didn't quite go that way. So basically, I had a very, very, very good pregnancy. I did have a few wobblers along the way because I am a very independent person and I enjoy doing things for myself. I love my food, and of course, as you can all relate to, there are certain foods and certain drinks and certain things you can't do when you're pregnant. So I was quite the cranky pregnant woman, shall we say, but all in good spirits. Like, my business partner used to take the mickey out of me because I would sort of regularly say to her, like, what is happening to my body? You know, why is it doing this? Why is it doing that? And she's had three children of her own that are all grown up now. And she used to say, look, Luce, it's happening. You know, you've got to go with it. But the changes that occur in your body are not only quite amazing and fascinating, you know, it's just absolutely amazing how your body prepares to give birth. But it's also quite daunting, isn't it? And it's the unknown. And being quite an independent person, stubborn to a certain extent, I was working right up until the end. In fact, at the time I was doing some care work with a very good friend of mine, Susanna, and I used to do some care work with her daughter. And she had to turn around to me and say, look, I think it's time that you had your maternity leave. And it was the same with my business. So for those of you that don't know, I run a home help business with my very good friend Lisa, and she had to stop me from going out and seeing to clients and cleaning people's houses. And you know, I was going out with her and scrubbing kitchens down, and because we were in the early stages of our business, so at the time we were very much sort of, you know, taking on clients where we could. So we were a bit different at the time. Now we purely specialize in assisting the elderly, but at the time we did have a few extra cleaning jobs that we were doing. And she too had to say, look, I think it's time that you go home and, you know, stop working. So I worked to the very end. And just taking it back a bit again, I set up the business, just to sort of set the picture for you, in early 2017, and because we were having a baby, Simon went into provider mode, you know, and we moved house, we moved closer to my parents. And so in the same year, I chose to set up a business, have a baby, and move house. So it was quite the eventful year, shall we say. So moving closer to when I actually had Sebastian, the sale of our house going through took some time, and we moved into our house that we're in now, our lovely home, the week that I went into labour, which was really good in some respects because I didn't have to lift a finger when it came to moving furniture and boxes, and we had some really supportive friends at the time that helped us move or helped Simon move everything, and we were lucky enough to not have to move all in one day. So with Simon having his own business as well, it really was quite a kind of a relaxed move, should we say. It wasn't all manic and all in one day, but it also meant that I was quite uncomfortable at the time and just itching to get this thing out. And so we moved in, and that night I went into labour. What are the chances? So it was almost like my body had gone, right, it is time. So I went into labour and I had a very lengthy labour. I always argue that it went on for at least 3 days. Simon will tell you that it was only two. And it just went on and on and on. And I went into the labour sort of thinking that I would like a more holistic birth. And I was very fortunate to be attending Babies in Waiting and their beautiful classes that they put together in the lead up. But being my first, not knowing what the hell was going to happen, and being anxious about what was going to happen, and, you know, trusting in the experts around you when you're giving birth, it did all go out the window. There was an element of everything that I'd learned that stayed as it was. And the midwives after I had Seb said, you know, you were very sensible, you know, you did what you felt most comfortable with, but at the same token, you were quite sensible and you took the advice where you should. So it did still help me, but it wasn't the water birth that I'd planned with, you know, absolutely no assistance whatsoever. I did kind of scupper myself though, because I said no to drugs. And then when this labour went on and on and on and on, which seemed like a lifetime at the time, I asked for drugs and they said, sorry, no can do. So I've just had to rely on the good old gas and air, which I didn't think I was going to like. And when I first had it, I was like, ooh, but everyone needs gas and air in their life, don't they? I mean, I could do some of that on a Friday night when I'm relaxing in the evening and the week has been very intense. So it was quite comical towards the end of my birth. You know, when Sebby finally arrived, it does funny things to you, doesn't it, gas and air? And I was hearing things that weren't there and saying things that were just ridiculous. But it served a purpose, good old gas and air. So once Seb arrived, I had in mind that I was going to be having a little girl. I was convinced. And we had so many girls' names, but only one boy's name. Now, Simon, my other half, is an avid Formula One fan. So he's pro Hamilton. And I loved the name Sebastian. And he wasn't sure about that name at all. But he saw the hard work that I put in over those 2 or 3 days, whatever it may be. And the nurses said, have you got a name for him? And me being high on gas and air, Simon being very attentive and overwhelmed himself, he said, well, I think she's worked quite hard, hasn't she? Like, maybe we'll let her choose the name. Possibly one of the best things that Simon's ever said, because, you know, let's face it, every woman wants to be listened to, hey? And so I turned around and I said, Sebastian, you know, in my gas and air voice. And yeah, so the name stuck, and his full name, Sebastian Charles, after his granddad and Simon's dad. And I didn't know this at the time, but my dad was actually out in the corridor, and I failed to mention earlier, my mum was called in because Simon started to get a bit jaded and wasn't too sure about the situation. And the midwife said to me afterwards, I knew that you were close to giving birth, because I didn't know this, but I do now recognise it when I sort of watch any of these programmes where people are giving birth. But towards the end, any woman that's actually giving birth gets quite aggressive, you know, and that's kind of what happened. And I said, you need to call either my sister or my mum and get them here now. And so my mum came along, and it was the most bizarre experience, but I think she's got quite a nice connection with Sebastian now, because she saw him come into the world. And they were prepping me for surgery and trying to sort of, you know, figure out what they were going to do, you know, whether he was going to be forceps delivered, or I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Or whether they were going to give me a cesarean. So there was lots going on. So my mum was there in the end, and I had about 3 or 4 midwives, because they just desperately wanted to get this child out. And what had happened was, just briefly to let you know, my bladder was full and he could not come out. So he was trying to get out and he couldn't. And when I actually did go into full labour, you know, that was it. He was coming. I was like, oh, this feels completely different. Now I understand the pushing. So, it's all quite traumatic. And the bed was falling apart, like my legs were up, and the bed was breaking. Simon's fixing the bed because he's a mechanic, and I had my dad out in the corridor, and oh blimey, giving birth isn't very glamorous, is it? So we left the hospital the next day, and we actually stayed with my mum and dad for a week, because Simon turned around to me and said, we can't go back home, there's boxes everywhere. And, you know, we just literally moved in. We've got, you know, maybe your mum and dad wouldn't mind us staying with them. And my mum actually offered anyway. So after spending a lonely few hours, which again seemed like a lifetime, in the hospital bed on my own with this new bundle of joy, thinking, oh, what do I do now? We went to mum and dad's after leaving the hospital. And the one thing I said to Simon, I said, if I have a boy, number one, I don't know what I'm going to do with, you know, nappy situations and down there, because I'm not used to boys. And number two, I said, my worst nightmare is him like peeing on me, because boys, obviously, when they wee, it can point in a certain direction, can't it? Often straight at you, for all those mums out there that have got boys. And what was the first thing that happened as soon as we got home? Changing him on the table, and he peed on me. Couldn't quite dodge out the way quick enough, because I was obviously a little bit sore. So we stayed there for a week, and Simon didn't have a paternity leave. He's a mechanic, he's got his own business. And my mum said, you know, you might as well go into work, because you're only around the corner. So I have my mum to blame for this. And you can pop back whenever you want. So he did bits and bobs here and there, and was coming home, you know, as regularly as he could. But he didn't have a paternity leave. And I spent a lot of time, you know, on my own in the early days. And as I said, you know, we were at mum and dad's. So mum would come back when she could. She was working as well. And we had a few visitors over that time, as you do. So it was quite an interesting start. And I think, if I'm completely honest, my labour did actually have more of an effect on me than I choose to admit. And as much as I would love Seb to have a sibling, I'm just not quite ready yet. And so what will be in that respect. But anyway, we finally moved back into our house, and my lovely friend Joe came round one day, and I could barely move, you know, I'm still repairing, and she helped me move all the furniture. She moved it all around and put it into some kind of order so that we could actually live in the house. And all the time I was thinking, oh, you know, I feel bad that I'm not at work, I should get back to work. And the guilt started to set in, and the guilt set in about breastfeeding because I had problems breastfeeding and my mum was guiding me on that. There was lots of emotions, as I know that you can all appreciate and resonate with, lots of emotions running high. And I was very fortunate in the respect that I didn't suffer with postnatal depression, but I do think that I had quite severe baby blues because I remember being very up and down. And I almost forced myself to get back out once I could drive easily and comfortably, shall we say, without a cushion. And I thought to myself, I've got to get back. I've got to get back to work. Like, how am I going to do this? I have a horse as well, for those of you that don't know me. And my friend was looking after her. So I think it was probably about 3 or 4 weeks. And she said, look, you know, the best thing that you can do, she'd had children herself, is to get back out and do stuff. So I think I had that in the back of my mind. And I have a lot to thank her for, and my horse for, really, my hobby, because it did force me to go back out. I had to. So instead of being at home on my own, I would take Seb down the stables and do my jobs. Eventually, what happened was, with my business, I would take Seb to work with me. I don't know how I did that. So I would take him in to clients. And at the time, you know, we didn't have as many clients, and I had very good relationships with all of them, and they loved seeing Seb. And he might nap whilst I was in there, or, you know, just lay on the floor. The beauty of them not moving around before the ages of, I don't know, 18 months old, when they start getting on the move. So yeah, I used to take him around with me everywhere to work. And I wouldn't work every day, but I would cover a considerable amount of customers to ease the load for my business partner, because obviously she, up until that point, had been doing quite a lot on her own. We didn't have a team at that point, so it was just us, really. I think we may have had one other team member, but yes, I was eager to get back out and help her. But looking back, I was like, was that really the right thing to do? Because I kind of chucked myself in and just went for it. Never really had a maternity leave. Simon didn't have paternity leave. So as much as I sort of think I was grateful for that time, because I was almost forced to get back out and get doing things again, which was great for my mental health, I'm not sure I really gave my body the chance to recharge properly. And should I have any more children? That is not an announcement. I never say never, but it's not in the plans. I think I would do it a bit differently. I would have a little bit more time with my newborn. And my business, of course, would be in a different place anyway. So that's a strong possibility. So in the background all along, Any Little Thing, which is my lovely little business with my gorgeous friend Lisa, was running in the background, and it's continued to run, and it's got stronger and stronger as we've gone. Seb's going to the Childminders when he was 1.5 years old. So that's how long I took him to work with me for. Woo. And my life sort of changed again, in the respect that I was able to spend more time with Lisa working on the business. And since then, obviously, a lot's happened. We're mid-pandemic at the moment, aren't we? So at the beginning of the pandemic, I did have a little bit of a flap, and I've only had one meltdown so far, which I think is pretty good, where I thought, what is going to happen to my business? And I'm not the only person, you know, there's everyone in the country, in the world, is thinking, you know, is my job safe? Is my business safe? What am I going to do for money if I lose my job? You know, so this is always been at the back of my mind from the very first day that it started. But I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's a positive that Seb is the age that he is, because I think as mums, you have this drive because you've got this little person to look after and to keep alive. So since I've had Seb, I've noticed that my drive to achieve things and get what I want and provide for him, set him an example, you know, I really do look for new ideas all the time to sort of help me on my journey, help my mental health, make things a bit easier for me, because you do lose your identity as a mum. You lose your independence. You get told all through your pregnancy and for the first year of your baby's life, you know, people tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing, and it drives you crazy, doesn't it? So when the pandemic hit and I was looking at different possibilities, you know, what was going to happen to the business, how could we make sure that we kept all our customers and our staff safe, what could we do? And in the first lockdown, obviously Sebby didn't go to childminders because Sue had to close, as did most childcare settings and schools, etc. So I spent a lot of time at home with him on my own, even though we did go to our most vulnerable customers. It was a new thing for me, like, because I'd gone out to work so quickly after I'd given birth to Seb. It was a real shock to the system when all this happened, you know, because I then had to be at home, keep him amused, try and keep him stimulated, you know, help him to learn what he would be learning whilst he was in the childcare setting. And it was really tough. And I'm sure that a lot of you can resonate with that. And okay, I haven't had homeschooling to deal with that. I'm sorry, but is one of the most difficult things by the sounds of things within your parenting journey. So well done to all of you that are doing that. It must be so difficult. But it still was a transition for me. It was different. And so I started up my mummy support page on Facebook, Mum's Alphabet of Life. And I decided that I was going to write a blog because I was at home more and the business was quiet, and I was like, I need to do something for me to keep my brain going and help me feel like I'm actually still doing something. And obviously I did tasking around the house and stuff like that. I hasten to add here that Simon is a key worker because he's a mechanic, so he was still out working, so I was on my own. And yeah, I started up the mum support group and the blog thinking that it would be just something, you know, to help support other mums, most importantly, but also something for me, something that I wanted to achieve and wanted to do. And the idea came from a book that I had an idea for. And from there, it's kind of blossomed into these further ideas that just keep coming to me. And I have to say, like, since we've been in this lockdown, or on and off, we've had these lockdowns, I've never felt so motivated in my life. And I don't know if it's like a survival instinct thing or, you know, I don't know what it is, but yeah, ideas kept coming. And if you are a member of the Mum's Alphabet of Life group, I do hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you like watching and listening and looking through the content, because we are going through a tough time as parents at the moment. And yeah, I just really hope that you enjoy it as much as I do, because it's given me a zest for life, shall we say, and put some, you know, given me a chance to give back in some way. It's evident from my business that I enjoy helping people. So that is what that was set up for. And then I'd watched, you know, a few business friends that I had become acquainted with over this time, and a couple of them were, you know, doing new things and creating new challenges in their life and doing stuff for them. And whilst observing, I was thinking, oh, that's a good idea, oh, that's a really good idea. And I grew the confidence to look into doing a podcasting course. And so that is how we've got here today, and that is why I am speaking to you today. And I've created this podcast. Not only am I so proud of myself for working out how to record things and put it all together for you, I just feel really sort of energized by this new hobby that I have, and venture in my life, and I cannot recommend enough doing things for you to give you back that confidence and that identity that you feel you may have lost having had children. People have been having children, women have been having children, I should say, for centuries and centuries and centuries. But I think we do live in quite a difficult time in the respect that there's so many contributing factors to judging yourself and comparing yourself to others. So I think in some respects it's become a little bit more difficult to parent because there's so much content out there. So at the end of each of my podcasts, I'll be asking anyone that I'm interviewing to give us some of their tips on parenting and what they think would help you in your journey as a parent. So I'll start by obviously giving a few tips of my own, and it links in with what we've been talking about. Do not compare yourself to other mums. Don't do it to yourself. We all naturally, by default, do this because of social media and books that you read and clubs that you go to, outside the pandemic, of course. And it's just unhealthy. Your journey is completely different to any other mum out there. And so that's my first piece of advice. Do not compare yourself to other mums. You have an individual journey that is beautiful. And if you need help and you're struggling and you ask for advice, that's different. But don't sit there and, you know, scrutinise yourself in comparison to somebody else's situation. My second tip would be to be adaptable. Motherhood and parenthood is just, it's all over the place, isn't it? You go through these different stages in your life, your parenting journey, I should say, and life, where things change. I mean, look at this situation that we're in at the moment. We've had to be so adaptable. Mums have started being teachers. We've had to become technology friendly so that we can tune into that Zoom or that fitness class or what have you. We've had to think outside the box when it's come to activities for our children to do. It's tough, but you can do it. You can so do it, and you are doing it. But be adaptable. Think, you know, outside the box, so to speak, and don't be too hard on yourself on that. It's important to be adaptable and to change things where you can, but don't be hard on yourself. If you set yourself a task and you don't achieve it, do not put yourself under any pressure. And my last tip is find time for you. You have got to find time for yourself, because if you don't look after yourself, then you won't be able to look after anybody else. And as a mum, you know, you maintain the house, you get the dinner ready, you're a cook, you get the school bag ready, you get the books ready, you get the children ready for the childminders, you make sure that they've got everything they need, you are making sure that everyone's on time, you are doing everything. And if you don't get a good night's sleep and find time for you, then you're not going to be very productive in your role, which, let's face it, is humongous. So, I mean, for example, myself, if I can do, I will get up early and I will do some work or some tasks before Seb gets up. I'm working on getting up at 5:30 in the morning. I've not quite got there yet. I need to go to bed earlier, but I will get up early as I possibly can, and do things for me in the morning. And what else do I do? You know, I might have a yoga relaxation class. It might not be until 9 o'clock at night, but I've done it. I will paint my nails when Seb's gone to bed, perhaps. I will run a bath and have a bath at the weekend if I can. You know, I boss Simon around and get him to look after Sebastian. You have got to find some way of spending time on yourself. So please, please, please do that. Thank you so much for listening to my first ever podcast. It has been so lovely to share my story with you, and I really hope that along the way I will be able to help you with tools and advice from experts and other mums that have been there, done that, tried that, got the t-shirt, and want to pass on their knowledge and their tips for you. So that's it for this episode of the Ultimate Mums Club podcast. It would mean the world to me if you would subscribe and rate the show on iTunes or Podbean. I hope that it has helped contribute towards your recharging your batteries and doing something for you. Did you know that the Ultimate Mums Club has its very own Facebook membership group? The exclusive membership is only £5 a month and will present you with activities for mum as well as activities for your children to keep them occupied and learning. This will help you in your health, fitness, mental health, well-being and self-care. All the details of how you can join will be in the show notes below. It is so important to look after you, so make sure that you do. Bye for now and see you next time at the Ultimate Mums Club podcast.